बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद ताई गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताई गौर हरि बोल। जय विष्णुपाद प्रभुंस पर जगाचार्य स्तोत्र शत शिशु मजिवाइंग भक्तिदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जाय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद् भागवत पुराण की जाय। निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरिर्गुण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 एंटाइटल्ड कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ किंग पुरंजन टेक्स्ट नंबर 56। एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः महिषी यद्यधि हेता तत्तत् एवान्ववर्तत। एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः महिषी यद्यद् इहेत तत्तत् एवानुवर्तत। एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः महिषी यद्यद् इहेत तत्तत् एवानुवर्तत। एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः महिषी यद्यद् इहेत तत्तत् एवानुवर्तत। एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः महिषी यद्यद् इहेत तत्तद् एवानुवर्तत। एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः महिषी यद्यद् इहेत तत्तद् एवानुवर्तत। मतजिस एवं कर्मसु संसक्तः कामात्मा वंचितो बुधः एवं धस कर्मसु इन्फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज संसक्तः बीइंग टू मच अटैच कामात्मा लस्टी वंचितः चीटेड अबुधः लेस इंटेलिजेंट महिषी दुखिन यत यत व्हाट्स एवर इहेत शी वुड डिजायर तत् तत् ऑल ऑफ दैट एव सर्टनली अनुवर्तत ही फॉलोड। ट्रांसलेशन प्रपर्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्तिदानंद स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय। ट्रांसलेशन बीइंग दस एंगेज बीइंग दस एंटैंगल्ड इन डिफरेंट टाइप्स ऑफ मेंटल कॉन्कॉक्शंस एंड एंगेज इन फ्रूट एक्टिविटीज किंग पुरंजन केम कंप्लीटली अंडर द कंट्रोल ऑफ मटेरियल इंटेलिजेंस and was thus cheated. Indeed, he used to fulfill all the desires of his queen or his wife, the queen. purport. When the living entity is, when the living entity is in such bewilderment that he is under the control of his wife or material intelligence, he has to satisfy the intelligence of his so-called wife and act exactly according to her dictates. Various Shastras advise that for material convenience, one should keep his wife always satisfied by giving her ornaments and by following her instructions. In this way, there will be no trouble in family life. Therefore, for one's own social benefit, one is advised to keep his wife satisfied. In this way, when one becomes servant of his wife, he must according to the desires of his wife. Thus, one becomes more and more entangled. In Bengal, it is said that if one becomes an obedient servant of his wife, he loses all his reputation. However, the difficulty is that unless one becomes the most obedient servant of his wife, family life becomes disturbed. In the Western countries, this disturbance gives rise to the divorce law. Or in Eastern countries like India, there is separation. Now, this disturbance is confirmed by the new introduction of the divorce law in India. Within the heart, the mind is acting, thinking, feeling and willing. And falling under the control of one's wife is the same as falling under the control of material intelligence. Thus, one begets children by his wife and becomes entangled in so many activities under the control of mental concoctions. Just read the translations of next two verses or two sections. Next verse says, translation, when the queen drank liquor, King Puranjana also engaged in drinking. When the queen dined, he used to dine with her. And when she chewed, King Puranjana used to chew along with her. When the queen sang, he also sang. Similarly, when the queen cried, he also cried. And when the queen laughed, he also laughed. When the queen talked loosely, he also talked loosely. And when the queen walked, the king walked behind her. When the queen would stand still, the king would also stand still. And when the queen would lie down in bed, he would also follow and lie down with her. When the queen sat, he would also sit. And when the queen heard something, he would follow her to hear the same thing. When the queen saw something, the king would also look at it. And when the queen smelled something, the king would follow her to smell the same thing. When the queen touched something, the king would also touch it. And when the dear queen was lamenting, the poor king also had to follow her in lamentation. In the same way, when the queen felt enjoyment, he also enjoyed. And when the queen was satisfied, the king also felt satisfied. Text number 62. In this way, King Puranjan was captivated by his nice wife and was thus cheated. Indeed, he became cheated in his whole existence in the material world. Even against that poor, foolish king's desire, he remained under the control of his wife, just like a pet animal that dances according to the order of its master. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhescha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो वेलकम एवरीवन टू टुडेज श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। सो हियर वी आर रीडिंग द एलेगोरिकल स्टोरी विच नारद मुनि इज टेलिंग किंग प्राचीन परिषद। इन दैट स्टोरी वी हैड ऑलरेडी सीन दिस फुल चैप्टर हाउ किंग पुरंजर हु इज रोमिंग अराउंड अ ब्यूटिफुल सिटी कम्स अक्रॉस अ ब्यूटिफुल वुमन gets married to her, begets so many children, grandchildren, and then his condition as a henpecked husband is being revealed in this verses which we are reading right now. So Prabhupada says that in this allegory, Puranjana is a spirit soul, or a living entity who is entrapped in this material world, and who he follows is his wife or the material intelligence. So how he very obediently, even without his desire or against his desire, he keeps following his material intelligence. So we know that when the living entity comes in contact with this material nature, Krishna bhulya jeev bhogavancha kare nikatastha mayadare japatiyadare. Or we also read in Srimad Bhagavatam that how bhayam abhini vishasat. That verse explains also janasya krishna atmimukhasya daivat adharmashilasya sudukitasya. Or even in 14th chapter Gita we hear that how living entity tries to enjoy, it tries to exploit these modes, and then modes in return attack him and entangle him. So desire for enjoyment causes living entity to come in contact with the material nature, and as soon as it comes in contact with material nature, that ego first which is created of being the enjoyer gives rise to birth of intelligence which is materially tainted, and that with that material intelligence he tries to use whatever facilities he has, his mind, his senses, his capacities, his abilities, his skills, everything he uses so that his identity as an enjoyer is fulfilled. So that's why intelligence is said to be born of mode of passion, mind is born out of mode of goodness. So many times we think that mind is a troublemaker, but actually mind is subordinate to intelligence, and intelligence when guided by the false ego of being an enjoyer becomes the cause of actually suffering, because intelligence actually plans for all the material activities which we do. So whatever material concepts we have, material ideas we get, or material plans we make, is all it is coming from materially tainted intelligence. So this Puranjan's wife, Puranjani, is compared to such material intelligence which pushes the living entity to enjoy in this material world. So that's why Krishna in Gita, when he is talking to Arjuna, so Arjuna first says that I see this army arranged, but I want to see it more elaborately or more closely. And he tells Arjuna, tells Krishna that please take my chariot in the midst of the armies from where I can see. So seeing is not just a function of eyes. Just like sometimes we give class, we make some point and we ask the audience, do you see? Can you see the point? The point is not something to be seen with the eyes, but we see through our intelligence. We try to understand through our intelligence. So Arjuna, when he requests Krishna, that please take my chariot between the two armies so that I can see. I want to see. And then Krishna takes the chariot in the middle of the armies. And what Krishna says, here is Bhishma, here is Drona, please see. Pasha, 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 2-3 times he says. And then Arjuna starts seeing. Not with his eyes, but with intelligence, which by Krishna's yogmaya potency, right now is tainted with material concepts. And with that material intelligence, he tries to see. And when he sees with that material intelligence, what gets in return is bewilderment. And when he tries to follow that material intelligence, he's completely bewildered and completely captivated, completely confused. And then he realizes that my intelligence is no more helping me. Then he surrenders to Krishna and says that Karpanya dosho apata svabhava purushchami tvam dharmasam mudha. I'm completely bewildered, my intelligence is totally baffled. Purushchami tvam, I'm asking you, yat shreya, what is better? What is my real duty? Please, you tell me. Dharma sammudha chetaha yat shreya syat nishchitam bruhitanme. Oh Krishna, you please speak. Now I switch off my intelligence and I want you to guide. It's a buddhi. You take intelligence on rent. Then now my intelligence is not working. Now you please explain by your... So Krishna, first he starts explaining the knowledge that we are not this body, we are soul. Because that is the basic foundation of material intelligence. That I am this body and whatever pleases this body is my duty. So Krishna first disillusions Arjuna saying that we are not this body, we are soul, and he proves and explains the qualities of soul in detail. Now if material intelligence, which is the cause of spiritual ignorance, if that is the cause of our bondage, then just the knowledge or spiritual intelligence should help. But Krishna doesn't stop there. Krishna says, now I explain you the knowledge, but I'll explain something else. And he says, I will explain you buddhi yoga. So intelligence, when purified of material concepts and endowed with spiritual relations, when engaged in Krishna's service, that is buddhi yoga. So then Krishna said, how long you will keep acting based on the body? Let's shift the topic. How to act for the benefit of soul? And the transition of Gita, where Krishna introduces all the yogas which work for the benefit of soul as buddhi yoga. So that includes bhakti yoga in its highest meaning. So Krishna also realizes that this buddhi is a cause of bondage. This material intelligence is a cause of bondage. And when a living entity very honestly, very sincerely keeps just following that material, just like Puranjani is following Puranjani. She's getting up, he gets up, she sits, he sits. So whatever we do is actually we are just following our material ideas and material concepts. So that's why Krishna introduced buddhi yoga first. The word itself says that you have to revise your ideas, revise your concepts, and then establish yourself in the spiritual intelligence. Then you can begin your spiritual journey. Now, looks like knowledge will help. But when it comes to 7th chapter, Krishna says, now I will tell you about bhakti yoga. Interestingly, bhakti yoga looks like it's a yoga of heart. Like Krishna starts 7th chapter by saying, Mai asakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya. So this is yoga which is done mayasakta. So attachment is in the heart. Mayasakta mana, again mind, heart. Mayasakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya. So ashraya also taken in the heart. But to understand this yoga, bhakti yoga, or to execute this yoga, what you should do first? Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramam yatha jnyasasi tat shrunu. First purify your intelligence by hearing from me. And then when your head is in proper alignment, then heart will follow. Otherwise, bhakti, though it's a matter of heart, you cannot just begin it with heart. It has to begin with the head. It has to begin with the intelligence being purified of all the material concepts and established in spiritual concepts. And then, once you start realizing, Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva. So, mati is again intelligence. Iti matva means by understanding with your intelligence, bhajante maam, then devotional service will begin. So, part of intelligence, even in devotional service, is very great. So, that's why Prabhupada compares this lady to material intelligence and says that we need to purify this intelligence. And from this Puranjan begot so many sons and so many grandsons, and the whole life goes in just maintaining them and caring for them. So when we follow material intelligence, that material intelligence begots so many material ideas, material projects, material plans, and just to fulfill and maintain those plans, whole life becomes entrapped. So that's how Prabhupada explains. Of course, this description of this analogy Narada Muni himself gives in the next chapter, next to next chapter, where he decides. But interestingly, if we see in the story of Puranjana, how he gets purified. Now he's completely entrapped with the Puranjani. So meditating on the on his beautiful wife, he leaves his body. So yam yam apismaran bhavam tejati ante kalavaram tam tame vaikunte. So next life he is born as a lady. And she gets married to a person named as Malayadhvaja. And then Malayadhvaja, a very pious king, a very saintly person, a devotee. And this wife, I forgot the name, she just follows Vaidarbhi. So Vaidarbhi just keeps following Vaidehi. Vaidarbhi, yeah, Vaidehi, whatever. So she keeps following Malayadhvaja very sincerely. And because he is a devotee, just by serving him continuously, she gets her intelligence back. She gets purified and she comes out of the entrapment of bodily concept of life. There Narada Muni explained that this Malayadhvaja, who is Malayadhvaja in this whole analogy? So living entity which is entrapped because of his material intelligence and ideas can get out of its clutches only when he serves spiritual master. So Malayadhvaja is a representation of a guru. When we surrender and hear from him and then purify our material concepts, then there is a chance that we can come out of it. So in 11th canto, this verse comes like, Bhayam Abhinivashasyat. So there, this verse also meaning same, that because we are driven by material concepts, slowly, slowly, abhinivesha, asakti, and ignorance, we get entrapped. The living gets entrapped. But how to come out? So Sridhar Swami says, if ignorance is the cause of bondage, then knowledge should be the solution. Why Bhagavatam is recommending devotional service? So jnana mark should be the solution for living into entrapment. Because ajnana is trapping him, so jnana should liberate him. But then he says, no. Bhagavatam is recommending bhakti yoga because Krishna himself tells that one when gets entrapped in this material world, daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratya. Very difficult to get out. But how to get out? Not by knowledge. But mame vai prapadyante. So method recommended by Krishna himself is devotional service. So when we serve with devotion, then we get knowledge. Dadami buddhi tesham satyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. So yes, we need spiritual intelligence, but spiritual intelligence will come by spiritual service. So when we do devotional service, then that will give rise to spiritual intelligence. So again, quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam tells that nashkarma api achyutta bhava arjitam na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. So jnana which is devoid of achyutta bhava, or without surrender, or without Krishna consciousness, that's not going to help. So just knowledge will not help. Because we see so many people have so much knowledge and information, but it can't help them to just get out. So just reading scriptures, Vedas, and understanding that we are not this body, we are soul, we are not this body, we are soul, it will not help. But when we approach a spiritual master and start serving Krishna and Guru, then dadami buddhi yogam tam. Then this spiritual intelligence can be awakened and we can get out of this material concepts. Okay. So I was just reading a class given by Jnana Sradhana Swami Maharaj on these verses. So we'll just quickly go through some points from that. So Maharaj explains that because this material consciousness of enjoyment is the cause of bondage, That's why Srimad Bhagavata recommends that dharma projita kaitava paramo nirmat saranam satam. So Bhagavatam kicks out religion, which is also motivated by material intelligence. So this material intelligence is so strong and so deep-rooted that even if you follow a spiritual life or religious life, there also it can enter. So if the religious life is also tainted by material intelligence, that's how it becomes selfish or materially selfish, then Bhagavatam says that will not help. So that religion, which is tainted by this material intelligence, that also Bhagavatam kicks out. So whether it be dharma, artha, kama, moksha, anyway. So that's why Bhagavatam says that person who actually takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya, he has awakened his spiritual intelligence. Yajanti hi su medhasa. So there is not link surdhaya, but su medhasa. So that's why spiritual intelligence is very important. And one is really intelligent, awakened his spiritual intelligence, he will take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of Anya Abhilashita Shunyam and engage in chanting the holy name. Then Maharaj goes on to explain that this intelligence is like wife. And if intelligence is like a material intelligence, then it's like an unchaste wife. So having an unchaste wife in our house, Maharaj says it's a risky affair, because having so many paramours, the wife itself becomes the enemy of husband. Because these paramours, they can anytime attack and kill the husband. So material intelligence tries to always enjoy with material senses. So five senses, including a mind, these become like six paramours or lovers of the unchaste wife. So anytime these six senses, headed by mind, they can immediately attack the soul and loot him of his actual consciousness, constitution, conscious of being a servant of Krishna. So it's a great risk to have a material intelligence with us. Then he says, but if that wife is very good and chaste, then it can actually help husband to achieve his goal of life. So if material intelligence is purified, so intelligence is needed. Just that its nature has to be changed. So from material intelligence, if it becomes a spiritual intelligence, then it can help us to cross over the material bondage. He says, right now people are taking so much education, but that education is not helping them, because that education is material education. Like Prabhupada says in Namam Dushkituno Mudha, Prapadante Narada, Mayaya Aparita Jnana. So intelligence which is stolen by Maya. So Maya actually gives material vidya, which is actually spiritually seeing it's avidya. And Prabhupada graphically terms modern education institutes as slaughterhouses. So Maharaj explains that analogy and he says, why it is called a slaughterhouse? Because soul is being killed. Soul is being killed of its tendency to love Krishna, serve Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So these people have, so just like in slaughterhouses, before cutting the animal is fed sumptuously. It becomes fat, heavy, and then it's cut. So all the care, all the nourishment, all the catering is done with the ultimate purpose of killing that animal. So similarly, Maharaj says this education system is giving us so many degrees, so many certificates, so many accolades, but all just increase his ego. His ego becomes puffed up and then he is slaughtered of his tendency to serve Krishna. So recently I was talking to one Mataji. It happens regularly. That is why, Prabhuji, we have given everything to our kids. We have given whatever they wanted. We also given some samskara, whatever we could give. But right now, they are studying nicely, but they have no faith in Krishna. They have no faith in our Sanskriti, education, or culture, whatever we have. And that disturbs them so much. But they can't do anything. Because 6 hours, 8 hours, they are just studying atheistic science. And ultimately, they become pakka atheist. And they don't have any concept of God, no surrender to God, no faith in the culture and the rituals. So ego becomes so puffed up that they are looted of their ability to serve Krishna or love Krishna. And they just want to employ their material intelligence to enjoy to the maximum degree with the help of mind and senses. So the nature of soul is be humble servant, but that because of this material education, they become like very arrogant scholars. Now Maharaj says, this mind and intelligence, sorry, mind and senses, they are very, very strong. So Maharaj narrates incidents when he says, in 1972, I was in Janakpur, Mithila. And that time, Mithila was very different, 1972. There are no cars, no horn, no traffic jams. So all transport, people are used to carry their luggage or themselves travel riding on elephants. So elephants everywhere. So even a 4 or 5 year old boy used to ride on elephant. Now Maharaj says, elephant is so strong. It has so much energy, so much strength, that if it is strong, it can just hold a boy, crush him or smash him on the ground. But that small boy is controlling the huge elephant just with a stick, which is such a small stick, Ankush. So with that, God is just good. He's just controlling the elephant. Whereas similarly, intelligence has a function to control the mind and senses. But when that control is not there, it can create a havoc. So intelligence is very subtle, subtler than senses and mind. And that's why it has a larger power. So when intelligence is convinced wrongly, it can create havoc. So Maharaj said, that's why to strengthen intelligence with the spiritual concept and spiritual ideas is very much required. And that's why Krishna speaks scriptures. He gives us scriptures. Your intelligence can be strengthened when we hear from Krishna, when we hear from scriptures. Then he says, when Prabhupada used to go to universities like MIT, Massachusetts Institutes, he used to ask, he used to give them all respect to the teachers, he used to respect them for their accolades and their knowledge, but then humbly, honestly, he would just ask them, why don't you teach anything about the control of all, the God himself? And without that knowledge, he says, whatever you are teaching, it's just useless. Maharaj says, if you teach everything, you may teach values, you may teach morality, you may teach ethics, but if you don't teach about God, then all your morality is baseless. And at any time it can collapse. But if you give the knowledge of the Almighty in MIT, then all your morality will have base. And in even changing circumstances, in challenging situations, people will not lose their morality. So that's why spiritual knowledge, spiritual intelligence is required. Because that will actually strengthen the good qualities, whatever good qualities we get from material intelligence. Otherwise, even so-called good qualities, which come out of material intelligence, they will not stand, or they will not sustain in difficult or challenging circumstances. Maharaj says, a saint is a person who has this spiritual foundation. And that's how his morality and ethics, they remain unchanged in all the circumstances. That's why Prabhupada very eagerly wanted to write books, to print books, wanted disciples to distribute those books, and especially everybody to study and understand these books so that their intelligence is strengthened. Versus the knowledge which universities are giving is like a poison flavored with amrita. So amrita flavored poison. So even if it's amrita flavored, while drinking you may feel very nice, as if I am drinking amrita. But slowly, slowly, slowly the poison will have its effect. So material education is like amrita flavored poison. So initially we feel very puffed up, very nice that I am getting educated, I get so many degrees. But slowly, slowly, slowly it kills the soul's propensity to surrender to Krishna. It becomes arrogant and atheistic. Then he says that Krishna, in Gita, he described that what is intelligence? What is the basic definition of intelligence? He says that Krishna's basic definition of intelligence is that the enjoyments of this world are sources of misery. Which shloka? Ye sanspata bhoga dukkha yo nahi evate. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, because they are temporary, because they perpetuate the enjoying spirit and obscure the needs of soul. Understanding this is a basic foundation of intelligence. Anybody who understands this, he is intelligent. Anybody who doesn't understand this is not intelligent. You may have so much material knowledge, but it's like a Puranjana following Puranjani. These material ideas, material concepts, material impetus or material plans. So without this as a foundation, any concept, any ideas, any intelligent decisions, they are actually not intelligent. If we don't have this foundation, that is material level is dukkhale mashashvata, I mean, any arrangement here is going to give ultimately dissatisfaction or unhappiness. Maharaj says that this material intelligence, material intelligence basically Maharaj says given by Maya. So Maya tries to convince our intelligence from spiritual to material in very slowly, in step by step ways. First, she presents temptations. So if we are spiritually not very intelligent, then just the temptations will make you succumb to Maya's allurements. But if temptation doesn't work, like a devotee presented with temptations, but still he sticks to his scripture injunctions and doesn't succumb, then what Maya gives is chastisement. That what a fool you are. How can you reject this? So internally she starts chastising the devotee, saying that you are missing something, you are fool. So the mind and senses start chastising. What are you doing? What nonsense? What are you getting out of this? You are not in bliss. You are nothing. You are neither here, neither there. So spiritual life also you are not getting test. Material test also you are sacrificing. So she touches this through mind and senses. So better you enjoy me. I am waiting for you. I have given you so much happiness for so many years. Please surrender. Then if temptation doesn't work, she chastises. If chastisement doesn't work, she starts giving negotiations. And she says that, all right, you chant now, but then you are mine. After your chanting finishes, then you should spend some time with me. Otherwise, it is too much extremism or fanaticism. You have to be balanced. You have to get a lot of sense gratification and a little spiritual life so that it is balanced. And as you become more advanced, then you can think about more tapasya. But right now, thoda spiritual life or bahut sara material life. So that is the negotiation part, bargaining. So first she says denial. She says that no, you cannot enjoy. You cannot do spiritual life. Just follow me. Then she becomes angry and starts chastising. And then she gives some bargaining. That please negotiate with me. That this much time for Krishna, but at least some time for me. So that is negotiation. And then if negotiation also doesn't work, then she employs recruitments. Recruitments means then she will influence family members, friends to convince you. That and they will come to you and say that, just see, we are suffering so much because of your spiritual decisions. So see our suffering and please change your decision. So then she makes allies with those people who are already materially minded. Then if that doesn't work, then she goes to the last step and this starts threatening for committing suicide. So mind and senses, along with the relatives, they start saying that if you don't give up this spiritual practice, we will die. So better you give up. So all this is just Maya is doing to convince your intelligence to act materially. So Maharaj says in one line, suicide, I will end my life, I will not survive, impossible, please give up the spiritual life. Now unless we are very much, very very deep in our faith, we cannot overcome all these influences. And where does faith come from? Maharaj says, faith is our intelligence. So material intelligence is the cause of bondage. And spiritual intelligence, Maharaj says that faith is our spiritual intelligence. So we are the faith versus material intelligence. So that is a tug of war, or that is a fighting struggle going on between these two parties. So faith is actually our intelligence. So that's how Krishna also started 7th chapter saying that first here with intelligence. Asamagram samshayamam yatha jnasasi tatshrunu. So that's how faith is developed with intelligence when we hear. So even Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, for Vaidhi Sadhaka, when he discusses faith, he says faith in scriptures. Not in faith in Krishna or devotees. Of course, that is there. But he specifically says that faith for Vaidhi Sadhaka means faith in scriptures. Because right now he's struggling with material indulgence. Unless and until he reads scriptures, follows scriptures, have faith in scriptural injunctions, he cannot have spiritual indulgence. And he cannot win over the material indulgence. So that's how Maharaj also says that faith is our intelligence. Now Maharaj goes in a little deeper way to say that how this material indulgence can spoil our so-called currently going spiritual life also. That's why he says, even if we have made that decision that I don't want to serve Maya, I want to serve Krishna, but still it is very, very important to regularly hear the transcendental knowledge. And he said, that's why Prabhupada introduced this daily hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. That every day, verse by verse, one verse in a day, so that we can deeply ponder on these topics, or one topic in a day. so that we get imbibe, we can imbibe that topic deeply in our intelligence and then make right choices throughout the day. So that's why this hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing of these scriptures daily is very much recommended. But then Maharaj says, how we should hear? He says we should hear as Arjuna heard from Krishna. Krishna says, if you want Arjuna, you can understand this Bhagavad Gita from me because you are my friend and you are my devotee. Therefore, you can understand. So, unless and until one becomes a devotee, even if he reads scriptures, he cannot understand. He says, Krishna says, Arjuna, you can understand the mysteries of this teaching because you are my devotee. Only through devotional service that one can understand who am I. Bhaktam abhijanati. If you are not devotee, if you are not following Krishna's prescription, then you cannot understand Gita as it is. Then Maharaj says, there are many people who read Gita, they comment on Gita, but there is nowhere Krishna mentioned in that because they are not hearing it from devotee or Krishna's representative. That's why even if they are in contact with scriptures, the scriptures cannot help him to get out of material intelligence. So without a person, Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam is unapproachable. Bhagavata padhiya, Bhagavata sthane. So this book Bhagavatam, scripture also cannot help unless and until we approach it through a sage. And that's why Parikshit Maharaj approached Shukdev Goswami and Shaunakadi Rishi approached Sutta Goswami. I said, otherwise, if you don't follow a person Bhagavat, your unchaste intelligence will create so much flowery language to your own egoistic interpretations and you don't even know that it's your egoistic interpretation. You will read scriptures, you will think that I will get spiritual intelligence, but your material intelligence is still on. And with that material intelligence, you try to read scriptures, what will happen? You will start interpreting just to favor your own material ideas or your own personal ideas. So this Puranjani, so when he is sitting, getting up, smelling, touching, sleeping, sab kuch, he's doing everything just following her dictates completely. So it's so ingrained that even if we begin our spiritual life, we keep following our material intelligence. So even if we read scriptures, while reading scriptures, we can made up our own interpretations because we are still influenced by material intelligence or egoistic interpretations. So that's why it's very important to approach a devotee or a spiritual master who can reveal the actual meaning of the scriptures. So we may say that these are my revelations, but these are actually concoctions. And then Prabhupada says, you must hear every day. You must nourish your intelligence every day with the nectarian flow of Bhagavatam's mercy, as it's so perfectly coming through parampara. Why is it that all the acharyas, all the great acharyas unanimously agree on something? You cannot understand Bhagavatam directly. That's why all our great acharyas wrote commentaries of Bhagavatam or taught from commentaries of the acharyas. Because the purport is every bit as important as the shlokas. So commentary or a purport is, it's every bit is as important as the shlokas. Because without the explanation, the shlokas are unapproachable to our comprehension. It is a fact. श्रीमद् भागवतम बिगैन विद फोर वर्सेस स्पोकन फ्रॉम कृष्णा टू ब्रह्मा, नटशेल वर्सेस. व्हाई डिडंट सुखदेव गोस्वामी जस्ट टेल परीक्षित दिस फोर वर्सेस एंड देन गो बैक टू द फॉरेस्ट? सिंपल, यू हैड सेवन डेज सेवन नाइट, सो इट वॉज वेरी इजी टू जस्ट रिपीट फोर वर्सेस एंड गो बैक टू द फॉरेस्ट. सो टाइम इज सेट एंड दे कैन डू कीर्तन टिल प्रसाद कम्स. But he didn't do like this. Because it was not enough. Ved Vyas, who received from Narada teachings of Bhagavatam, he explained in a very, very full, detailed way. Really, what the Bhagavatam is its Vyas Dev, Narad, Sukadeva Goswami's purpose of the four verses. So what Bhagavatam we read is actually commentary of Vyas Dev to those four verses, which Brahmaji heard from Krishna. So whole Bhagavatam shloka is actually purport. So if you say that shlokas are important, purport is not important. So Maharaj is telling that even the shlokas are purport. So actually purports are important. Whether it is given by Vyasadeva, different acharyas, or Srila Prabhupada. This is how Prabhupada wanted us to learn Bhagavatam. There is the verse, then there is his purport. And he trained his disciples to expand and illuminate the purports. 1 hour class a day on only one verse and one purport. It increases, it enhances our capacity to understand it. It enriches our intelligence. Of course, it only has that effect when the explanation is perfectly in harmony with the spirit of the purport. If we invent or imagine our own ideas, then we are spoiling everything. So he says, Bhagavatam class means we should try to understand what different statements Prabhupada is making and try to imbibe them and understand them. Prabhupada said many times that my only qualification is that I am not changing anything. So same spirit should follow when we explain the Bhagavatam and hear and read Bhagavatam. That is parampara, he says. Then he says, but why to hear every day? He says, so that our intelligence is refreshed. Every day we are attacked by so many viruses. We need to refresh again and again. So last 12 hours, 24 hours, we have already been exposed to so much material ideas, material concepts and material intelligence, bombardment. So to refresh it again, back to the original. So the Bhagavatam class is a refresh button. So that our intelligence is refreshed. Fortified with spiritual direction. So that our intelligence remains chaste and faithful to the service of the soul. So Puranjani is a material intelligence. Puranjana is a living entity, soul. So duty of a wife is to remain chaste with the husband. So for intelligence, who is the husband? Soul. And soul's benefit is to serve Krishna. So wife should act in harmony with the soul's benefit. That is a chaste intelligence. Other intelligence which takes the soul away from Krishna, that is unchaste intelligence, that he says. So if we hear regularly, then intelligence will remain chaste and faithful to the service of the soul by keeping in his constitutional position. Then he goes deeper. So then we understand that scriptures are important. Then we understand, no, Guru is also important. Because Guru only can reveal the meaning of scriptures. Then he says, okay, if Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. Doesn't matter if nobody else is pleased. Again, material intelligence coming in picture. Though we have a Guru with us, still material intelligence is active and keeps telling its. So doesn't matter if nobody else is pleased. That's the perfection of our life. But then we have to understand what pleases Guru. Not according to our interpretations, but as it is. What pleases Guru should not be understood as per our interpretations. But it should be understood as it is. Prabhupada has told us, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate and show love for each other. So again, material intelligence will try to separate Vaishnavas from the Guru. So Maharaj says, no. You should hear from Guru and understand what pleases Guru. Not separating Vaishnavas from Guru, but they are all together. He says, because just accepting Prabhupada many times didn't help. Still material intelligence is active. Prabhupada said, so Srila Prabhupada would often say that everyone is saying, Prabhupada said, but I never said. Everyone think I know how to please Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this, but usually some adjustment to Prabhupada's words according to what we want Prabhupada to have said. So even if you are a guru, if you don't have sadhus around, there is a chance that this material intelligence will again interpret the words of spiritual master also. Yes, so many people have done even during Prabhupada's time within Hare Krishna movement. Because if Prabhupada said, that was a law. So if you want to do something according to your own desire, then if you want to give authority to it, you somehow or other adjust Prabhupada's words to perfectly match what you want. So that can also create havoc. Then he writes a story. He says, I remember in 1976, nice story. There was an initiation ceremony and one of the devotees of New Vrindavan called up to get first initiation. So he was telling, sometimes even if you are in a leadership position or we think that I have spent so many years in Krishna consciousness, so we think that this material intelligence, this Puranjani will not affect me. Vara said, no, we have to be very, very cautious that are we under spiritual intelligence or material intelligence. So even leaders can be affected by that. So for that he quotes the story. In 1976, there was an initiation ceremony and one of the devotees from New Vrindavan was called up to get first initiation. And he came up. Prabhupada asked, what are the four Vedic principles? He said, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meditating. You vow to chant at least 16 rounds every day? He said, yes. Prabhupada looked at him closely and said, where is your Kantimala? He didn't know what Kantimala means. He looked, where is your neck beads? The person froze like a statue. Then Prabhupada said, who is the rascal that recommended you? Though he was in a position to recommend for initiation, Prabhupada said, he's a rascal. Now everybody knew who recommended him. He was the leader of the community. So we were all frozen like statues. We didn't know what to do. Where is that rascal? Get out here. So the person went away. First he could not move. He was reaching for his beads. He was reaching for his beads and Prabhupada was giving his beads. Where is your neck beads? Who is the rascal that recommended this man? He was like a lion and we were all like drop our jaws. So somebody somehow or other took him away. He put the neck beads on them and then brought him back. Then Prabhupada gave him the beads and he said, your name will be Pavitra, because he was purified by chastisement. Everyone went away, jai, jai. It was a very horrifying experience actually. It was a purifying experience. He was given the name Pavitra because he was purified. Very difficult situation. So Prabhupada expected his leaders to teach as he is teaching. And if they were not, they were rascals. Very bold. So if you are in leadership position, if you are changing something, then you are a rascal. That is basically, this material intelligence can pop up at any time, at any position we are. So that's how this Puranjani can allure Puranjana, the living entity, to any extent. So then he goes little more deeper. And how this material intelligence can percolate our spiritual life. He says, so many times, devotees from Hawaii, Prabhupada used to meet them. And Prabhupada came to know that many of his initiated disciples, they're not even chanting their 16 rounds, staying in Hawaii. And sometimes they had difficulty in following regular principles also. So Prabhupada said, actually, Hawaii is a very heaven on earth, actual heaven. And Maharaj said, actually, Hawaii is very beautiful. It's not like Bombay. Not raining so much heat, so much perspiration, and so many traffic jams, honking horns. He said, Hawaii is very peaceful, hilly tract of land. Cool ponds, beautiful people around, and you can just pick up fruits and live. Maharaj says in class that there are devotees who are not doing any job, just picking up fruits and eating. So that heavenly place it is. So much opulence. So sometimes people came, Prabhupada came to know that these people are not able to follow the higher standard of his sadhana. So devotees who are not following principles, who are not doing very well sadhana, Prabhupada was just like such a loving, gracious father, trying to just encourage these people. to Prabhupada used to chastise them. He used to sympathize with them that you are living in such a place. But please try to complete your rounds. Please try to follow principles. But then somebody else came there who had a very strong sadhana, very, very strong sadhana, who is very strict in regulative principles, who is a preacher. He came and he was complaining to Prabhupada about the leaders of ISKCON. He was criticizing Prabhupada's beloved leaders. Prabhupada chastised him and told the president, he is not allowed to give class in your temple. Prabhupada was very displeased. So material intelligence may convince us to do strong sadhana, but then offend the devotees or chastise the leaders. Maharaj said that is also material intelligence, because that is not according to what Prabhupada wanted. So he says that it can creep in at any time. So somebody who was innocent, falling again and again, Prabhupada was displeased, but was not chastising him. He was encouraging him. But somebody was following very strictly all the regulations, kind of spiritually established, but he was criticizing. So subtly, Maharaj is saying that he was under his material concepts, material ideas and material criticism. So you are more pleased and kind to the fallen souls than those who are politically minded and those who are criticizing the disciples that he loved. He actually banned them, chastised them. Loyalness and faithfulness is the foundational quality of a good disciple, Maharaj says. So loyalty and faith. Sadhana, austerity must be harmonized with that. Otherwise, even our great sadhana is not really so great in spirit if we are not faithful or respectful. If we don't love those who Guru loves and show that love, so we were discussing the point. What pleases Guru is something that we have to honestly analyze within our heart and see that are we really following what Guru says. Sometimes my temple is most important. There has been times when one temple just literally undermines other temples. He gives another example. You may try to push up the movement through your own yatra, through your own temple. And in that course, you may try to minimize other temples. So that also displeases Prabhupada. To please Prabhupada, but when Prabhupada hears plundering another temple, he is not pleased. If we are not trying to be like this, then there is a flaw. A serious flaw in how we are pleasing Guru. If we are not really trying to attentively chant the holy names, so he now mentions what actually pleases Guru. If you are not really trying to attentively chant the holy names, if you are not really trying to very, very strictly follow the four legged principles, if you are not really trying to take a humble position of servant of other Vaishnava and create love and trust, if you are not acting respectfully with integrity to give a good name to Krishna and to the general public, then there is a serious flaw in the pursuit of pleasing Guru. It's not just one of these subjects. We have to be faithful to all of them. So you need a big list. And so you're going to just pick up one and say that this is the most important. So everything is important. If we please Guru, we please Krishna. But how we can please unless we understand? Yes, the false ego is very big. Therefore, our intelligence has to give direction in such a way that we can counteract even the false ego. Therefore, we must hear submissively. So, Narad Muni also concluded the story when Vaidarbhi surrenders to Malaya Dhwaja, who Narad Muni compares to spiritual master. So, hearing from spiritual master and understanding what he really wants, that can actually save us one from the Puranjani of material intelligence and get established in the spiritual intelligence and disentrap ourselves from this material world. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Any comments or questions you can take? Jai Granthashwami Bhagavatam ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Ribo.